The sorption desorption has to have some success. We can spend, and I'm one of these old timers of 40 years discussing hysteresis. Okay, why don't we put hysteresis into full production in a way that can assist two problems we're having in this world: growing populations, opportunities for temperature change, greater drought, of course, on plants. How can we design a system to use more of our natural resources, i.e. sand, and begin to convert those into productive, sustainable systems similar to our clay loams? So what I've got here is a very practical summary of 40 years of trying to solve sorption, desorption in the real world. So the concept here is, on your left is the sand. As you add a bit of water, the drainage, of course, as we heard earlier, disappears water much below the sorptivity capacity and the hydraulic conductivity that Gardner spoke about that needs to provide enough water to the root surface. If we can do something to equilibrate that, to remove the gravitational effect upon the drainage component, the desorption, if you wish, then we have something that's going to resolve what you're seeing in the map before you. There are somewhere in the neighborhood of 370 million acres of soils across the United States that hold very little water, 6 inches, within the root zone itself. So we've of course, some of these are mountains. We can't look, we can't adjust all of those. Henry Lynn is trying to do that in the mountains in Appalachia. But in addition to that, what we really need to do then is begin to look at this component of what we call the greatest curve, if you wish, or the soil water retention curve. And how can we begin to move that natural drainage of sands, the red line you see, that's going to be reduced then somewhere, instead of 300 hectopascals or centimeters, why not minimize those down to 70, 75 centimeters? This is a summary of some Hydrus 2D work that one of my co-authors, Andre Guber, is working with. If you'll look at the graph on the most right, left side, the solid line, that shows us the average desorption for sand. So if we can minimize that desorption, we're going to be able to hold a whole lot more water with a much less energetic component with the sands themselves, so that we have more uniform water distribution and availability to the roots. So very quickly, what we've done with this whole system is develop a concept of putting polyethylene in a specific aspect ratio. We'll talk a little more about that. That's the width by the depth. At multiple depths, so that we can intercept, whether it's rainfall, whether it's surface irrigation, it's drip irrigation, or whatever source of water we have. Obviously, you can do a lot of modeling, you can do a lot of theory, and all of us in this room have done this. We simply said, okay, once Hydrus tells us what the aspect ratio is for maximum water holding capacity, about 15 to 17 volumetric water content, a very low sorptivity, we can then put it into a lysimeter about twice as long as it is wide. We looked at multiple components of where the water is. Thanks to Decagon, we can put 50 plus of these within that small area. We can begin then to look at boundary layers of these two membranes as they're close together and begin to ask the question, how is that water flowing, and how does the Hydrus, the yellow simulator, green, here it is, simulation match the measurements in this large lysimeter when we have high frequencies of irrigation, medium frequencies of irrigation, and low frequencies of irrigation? So we've got Hydrus to match this sorption, desorption component, and then we began to ask the question, what does the change in these aspect ratios of these polymers that we have in the soil that hold 236 centimeters per centimeter across the landscape? And how many days does it take then for us to begin to have a non-equilibrium hysteresis, if you wish, so that the roots that are growing all around these systems are struggling with the sorptivity of hydraulic conductivity at the rate, of course, of evaporation? So this is, again, a very quick summary. If we move the natural drainage down to by putting in these membranes, we can double that water holding capacity pretty substantially. And if we go back and look at now 4 years of field data, this is roughly the summary of the volumetric water contents close to saturation. These, by hysteresis and, of course, capillarity, these are going to drain out very quickly. So what do we do? If we look at this across an entire season, irrigating too much, losing, this is still early in the career, we're now irrigating more frequently, we can save somewhere in the neighborhood of about 4 acre inches in Michigan and still meet the water needs by hydraulic conductivity to those plant root systems. Here's a surface picture of the system. We can begin to look at other kinds of components. Water yields were up there 230-some%, roughly fourfold. We can now irrigate much more frequently with the vegetable folks, and we can control that hysteresis by not permitting it to occur. And as we do that, we begin to see these large quantities of increase in opportunities for growth. We took this then to Baghdad, Iraq. Some of you know, perhaps our co-author, who's Maria Oda, who's working there. What we've done, we've been able to roughly double, not quite, 89% increase of tomatoes, 60% reduction in irrigation because we're saving it, not letting it drain deeply, and we're diminishing salinity. Very briefly, here's our next step. We're looking at just, I'll point out A, the sand soils, and compare that to D, the sandy clay loam soils. Begin to ask the question, what's the maximum retention performance? The closer to one, the better. Well, if we look at the sand originally without a membrane, we're down to about 0.3, 0.35, okay? If we begin to put the membrane in, we're all the way up to roughly 8, 7.8. That's on sandy soils. But look what our finer texture soils will do. We're not looking at hysteresis, folks. We're looking at the retention capacity to keep a constant hydraulic conductivity to the roots. And we're between somewhere of 6.3 and up to 9. That's where we're taking this whole process. So I'm trying to make up for lost time here, folks, and summarize very quickly. We're increasing yields in biomass. We're looking at resilience towards some types of droughts that are changing with our climates. How about saving 50% of our water, irrigation water and nutrients, and feeding some of these folks that are living on 5.28 billion acres of sands across the globe, and see if we can begin to desalinize some of these soils in the future. So with that, I'll close, and if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer. Thank you.